So then I joined us, then we got our first raid, and I had to go, when you go, on a first raid you go, the pilot goes with another pilot. It's because you've learnt in your training in Halifax's and in Lancaster's, you learn how to get away from the enemy. If a fighter gets on your tail, at a certain distance, the gunner tells you that how far he's away, and he's the one that takes over to all the pilot what to do. Right, they're coming in on our starboard side, corkscrew port, go. And when he does that, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to do a court, you go down nearly vertical, and you turn as you go down, and you go so many degrees off your course, and then you come up, and you turn back 30 degrees. And if a fighter's following you down, he tears down after you, but it's pitch black down there. You can see above you quite easy. Most of the aircraft get lost with a fighter coming up underneath because they're silhouetted against the sky. But a pitch black night, when he goes down like that, he loses track because you've got no lights on, by the way. Once you leave Britain, all lights go out everywhere. Pilot's got no lights. Everything gauges are luminous, and you know where everything is by feel. You do all this training long before you start even flying it to know where the bomb rack is, where the lever flat is, where the flat lever is, where the undercarriage lever is, where the oxygen lever is. We're on oxygen, by the way, all the time. We're 20,000 feet, which is 6,000 odd metres. That's the height we flew in Lancaster's. So we learn all that. So you dive down like that, and the fighter usually loses you in seconds. He goes and look around. You were there a minute ago, now you're over here, or you're coming up, and he's going down. So he forgets about you. There's too many others. There's 500 of them up there, 600, 1,000 above him he can pick from. So you just tear off and look for somebody else that's not wide awake. And so that's learned, and we learned that before we ever get on ops, fighter affiliation. But there's a lot of finer things you don't know. You've never had much practice with searchlights, because in England everything's blacked out. There's not a light to be seen in England in war, not a light anywhere. Mm-hmm. It's pitch black. It's just like you wonder if you're over England when you fly over it, because it's so black. So you learn lots of little wonders, searchlights. So you go, therefore, to learn that, every pilot arrives on the squadron, he's then allocated a pilot to fly with that raid that night. So a crew who's done usually more than 20 bombing raids is picked out to take new crew. I took four different new members over in my time, like new pilots. So I went with a new pilot I'd never seen before, with his crew. You leave all your crew behind, you just go and you sit with the pilot alongside him, which is the engineer's seat, easy. But the engineer just kneels or squats down on a little compartment near the bomb aimer. He's out of the way. He watches all the instruments, of course, and he records them every hour. Every instrument's got to be written in a book that he has. So he's the only one in the whole crew that's got a little torch. And he has a torch so he can see it. The navigator's got a curtain all around him like that, completely circular. And he's got a pencil light on his map, so he can just do that. Mm-hmm. All the rest of us I've got nothing. I've got no lights at all. So the engineer's got this little torch, and he just looks at a gauge over here, a gauge there. Most of them are luminous, but not all of them. And he writes down the figures all the time. So he knows if an engine's packing up. He knows if an engine had oil pressure of 60 pounds when we left England, and then it was 50 when he measured it an hour ago, then it's 40, then it's 30. When he gets to 20, he's got to stop that engine. So he knows that over a certain time, that engine's going downhill for some reason. So that's what he does all that for. So I went with this first pilot, who was very good, and he learns to get out of searchlights. As soon as you cross the French coast, the searchlights start. In France, searchlights nearly meet each other. The whole length of that coast, Dutch, French, the searchlights are positioned, so they nearly cross at the top. So any aircraft going over Germany, anywhere, Holland, France, to bomb, they've got to cross over the territory of France, the coastline, and there'll be a couple of searchlights sweeping the skies looking for aircraft going over. And then, of course, then they've got fighters come, and they've got big guns down below that can shoot that high as well. So you've got to get out of them. So when they, of course, they've only got only one, there's not like two or three of them, they're only one at a time. So as they cross over and you're going through, one of them might pick you up, one might get on you, and you stay for a second there and you see it on you as bright as day, of course, you do something about it. So you dip your wing in to the searchlight. If the searchlight's coming from that way like that, you put your wing like that for the bomber. And that makes the searchlight very hard at 20,000 feet to pick you up. And you only stay there for a second or two. If nothing happens, you go the opposite way. You turn a bit and put the wing the other way, which is not very good because all your under belly of the aircraft is being shown to a light. The first way is the way, because there's a wing, all you can see is a wing tip. You can't actually see the body. The wing shades out your body, virtually, most part of the body. Most times, it also only takes 10 seconds from the time he grabs you to the time you're out of range. You can't reach you. So you've only got 10 seconds to play with this, and you're out of range. You look for somebody else.
That's right.
So you learn all that, learn how to get out of a searchlight quickly. And all little things you learn on the way, so you follow what the captain's telling his crew, because they're experienced. And they're talking, because you've all got headphones on, yet everybody's talking to each other or listening. You've got a microphone you put on when you talk, you put it off when you're not talking, and you listen. So that's what you do all the way over. And then when it comes to bombing, the bombing part of the bombing, as I said, before you leave the ground, the pilot is told, and so is the bomb aimer, when you bomb the target, you bomb it from the north. You bomb it at a height of 20,000 feet. You bomb it at the speed of roughly 400 kilometres per hour. That was our cruising speed, about 400 kilometres per hour. You've given all that. So the pilot knows all that before he ever gets there. But the bomb aimer will remind him when we get there that your speed's a bit high, or your height is a bit high, or your height's a bit low. Mm-hmm. Because this, he puts all those things on his computer, and it's not exactly right, nor will the bombs go where they're supposed to go. So that's what happens there. So you're told all that. You're told that on the map, when you walk in the door, for the briefing, every time you go at night, you have a meal before you go, because you might get one. You might get one on the way back. You might end up in France somewhere, have to walk home. So you have a meal, a very good meal. You're given a whole lot of things. You're given a case which fits in a pocket, your special pocket, that holds morphine, holds bandages, it holds scissors, it holds wakey-wakey tablets, it holds Horlicks tablets, so you can live on energy tablets if you come down as a prisoner. It's got a map of all that area down below, waterproof map. It's all in this little box case that fits in a pocket. So it's called an escape kit. So it's got money in there to bribe French or Dutch, wherever you come down. So we're given this kit, and you hand everything that's personal. You don't take one thing on you that's personal. So if you're taken prisoner, they can't refer to anything on you. You can only just give your name, number, rank.